Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed, and with me, as always, is Mr. Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
Hello, podcast listeners and film lovers. And get ready for another meandering chat through the world of films, a lot of which won't make any sense.
Correct. I can't dispute that. Cinema continues to be quite good at the moment.
Yes, we're in a hot streak of cinema.
Before the blockbusters come back out.
And we get a hot stream
of piss back into our eyes and ears.
Before the superhero piss stream starts. I went to cinema and I went to see... I'm almost close to completing my best film nominees.
Oh, yes.
And this week it was a turn of American Sniper.
American Sniper. Bradley Wiggins. No, what's his name?
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper plays real-life highest kill count in history American Sniper. Killy McGee.
Chris Kyle.
Chris Kyle, who is in Afghanistan killing savages, in his own words. What's it like?
Well, first of all, I talked about a couple of weeks ago. I think this is one of the best trailers.
Yes.
In terms of tension, it looks really great, the trailer.
I mean, I still haven't seen this. I'm not that interested, to be honest. But what seemed to me from the trailer is that Clint Eastwood,
who's the
director of this, for obvious reasons, is very good when he's basically telling a Western. And it looked like this was a Western in part, you know, in terms of the genre of it. But I don't know if that's fair from the actual film.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of the troubled good guy who just has to kill enough bad guys and everything will be okay.
It feels like a film that's been done before. It felt very much like Hurt Locker to me.
Okay.
And the story of, you know, how one man, basically just a sort of bit like a cowboy, he hasn't really got any point to his life. He is moved by the Twin Towers. Is it before Twin Towers? I'm not sure.
No, but it's after. From what I've read, reviews, they sort of say the attack... Is he in Afghanistan or Iraq? He's in Iraq, isn't he?
Yes.
Sorry, I said Afghanistan.
And he is moved to... no, it's Afghanistan. I can't even remember. And I saw it the other day. He's somewhere that's full of bad guys. It's in Iraq, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
And he becomes... he's a good shot when he's a kid. He becomes a sniper. So his job is just while the troops... They're basically sort of no-go areas which have been bombed, which are just inhabited by, you know, Al-Qaeda. And he's one of the snipers who's there to protect the American troops by getting rid of the other snipers or people who might be carrying bombs and car bombs, etc., etc., etc. And he... Over the course of the film, I don't think it's really spoiled saying it, he sort of loses his sanity because he's convinced that he's almost like a superhero in a way, protecting the American troops. He has to go in. He's part of the Navy SEALs, which is the elite group who sort of went up from the Marines, who are properly trained. And it's based on a true story. And he killed over 160, which is quite incredible.
That's an enormous number of people. In how long a tour?
He does four different tours. Yeah. And over the course of it, he graduates to sanity. Sienna Miller, who plays his wife, who is also great in Foxcatcher, a real surprise.
Yeah. Well, she's been dismissed as just sort of pretty celebrity, hasn't she?
Well, she's in two of the biggest films of the year, both playing a sort of in Foxcatcher, her role is not as big as only a small role in that. This is a bigger role. She's great in both of them. I'm really impressed with her. Bradley Cooper, nominated for an Oscar, he's very good at what he does. For me, he's not that magic actor like you have. He doesn't give me that. He doesn't give me make my hair stand up on end like Michael Keaton does in Birdman, or like J.K. Simmons in Whiplash. He doesn't have that electricity to him.
I thought you were going to say J.K. in Jamiroquai.
J.K. in Jamiroquai. It's odd because would this film have been? My first question is: would this film have been nominated if the Oscars weren't run by America? So, you know, would it be a bit?
Well, it's a huge commercial success. The Oscar contention apart, I mean, it's now the highest-grossing war movie in America of all time. And partly because it's been so politicised, because it's polarised the right wing and the liberal left, in that it's had accusations of being basically an American propaganda piece, grossly oversimplifying and favouring, you know, American occupation. And people have a real problem with that. But of course, the right wing loves the fact that it is so simple as to say they're all heroes, no ifs, no buts, their enemy deserved to be killed, and that's all there is to it. And I mean, it's been politicised, so at the end of the day, it is just a film. But
you can't escape
it. Are people's criticisms fair?
Yes, I think they are. I think it is oversimplified. I think some of the Iraqi insurgents are completely black and white, like the Butcher of Baghdad's in it.
Yeah.
And there's a rival, I think it's too many spoilers, there's a rival sniper, like Iraqi sniper, who's almost like is it Ebony Abenaza or something like that? Who's a pantomime cat?
Yeah, Abenaza.
It almost feels a little bit like that. He's dressing up and he's like this Olympic champion who's doesn't really say anything, but he's just this evil opposing force. I thought, because Bradley Cooper's not likeable in it, I didn't like him personally.
I don't really like him in anything.
But the character he plays, he's a bit like a sort of a hick.
Yeah.
And the American troops, they're not, you don't really like any of them. It's not as if, I mean, a film I compare it to, which I think is far superior, and my favourite war, is Platoon, which is a great on different. I think it questions the whole why they're out there, and is more. There's lots of different characters, and it's also a character piece as well as a set in Vietnam. And there's no Willem Dafoe, you know, characters who question it all there. This is a bit, and all the American troops, they all seem a bit stupid. So I didn't know whether I was watching, thinking, "Oh, has Clint Eastwood purposely made them a bit just some army, you know, knuckleheads who don't really know how to communicate and just have quite base conversations?"
Yeah.
On purpose. And I thought at the end, "Oh no, maybe it's not, because there's a." I won't go through spoilers, but if you look up Chris Carr, you can see what happens to him. You know.
Yeah. Because his story is well known in America, but over here we haven't really heard his biography before. But
the end of it is almost like a praise of Chris Kyle,
yes.
Which is weird. I think he just sits.
Well, Texas is now calling for having National Chris Kyle Day every year to celebrate his achievements, like he's a saint, which is creepy as hell, in my opinion.
I think it becomes really subjective. I think this is the point when you start. And even our conversation now has become quite politicised and subjective. For me personally, as much as I seem like a really negative ball of evil, the idea of celebrating killing anyone doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah, you know, you can have somebody who is in a bad place through no fault of their own, for only good intentions, and also, you know, they are incredibly brave for committing acts of this kind in order to protect other people. But they're still killing people, and that shouldn't in itself be celebrated. You know, I read an account from another Navy SEAL sniper. I think he was Navy SEALs anyway. Certainly an American
Hotshot
sniper.
McGee.
Hotshot McGee. Do you know him? He But because I thought that would be interesting to see what he had to say on the matter. And he was saying he found it very uncomfortable because it was not his experience of the Iraq war at all, in that it was only one side and made it incredibly simplistic. And he was saying to not include the good Iraqi people, the incredibly friendly and the incredibly, you know, the incredible wisdom you'd get from Iraqi children sometimes, or the incredible playful, almost childlike nature of some of their adults as well, and everything in between, you know, and to not include all of that, which was a day-to-day part of his life as a sniper in Iraq, to only have the computer game part of it.
Yeah.
He said he could understand people's desire to only to reduce it to that, because the more we know about post-traumatic stress, the more it seems to be a moral disorder, whereby you've done things and then the context that you believed in changes after the fact, and suddenly you don't know how to deal with these things you've done anymore. And he says he since his last tour, he's been dealing with that as well. And so it isn't as simple as American Sniper. And the tricky thing for me, I haven't seen it, this is the thing, but I think it's interesting in terms of these films that get overly politicised and become a weapon people are beating each other with, whether it's the left or the right. And if this film has done harm, then I think it probably is responsible, isn't it?
Well, you could say that he faced a choice, Clint Eastwood. Is he going to tell this story as almost like a Hollywood computer game thing? Because in many ways, the character of Chris Kyle in it is half machine in his emotions and the way he behaves.
And I think that's
people.
Fair to the real man as well, in that he saw it as black and white from what I've read. You know, he was just like, no, these guys deserve to die. They're subhuman scum, you know? And that was his view. That was it. There was no...
I think that comes across, but the problem was, right at the end, now sorry, it's not really spoilers, it's almost this huge... sort of pro-American, but he is a hero, you know, using actual footage, and that last bit changes the whole feel and context of the...
Abandons the ambiguity,
this is what the film was about, you know, he was a hero. And I think if they'd have cut that last bit off and made it, so you decide whether he is a hero or if there's something wrong with him, you don't make out to be this America is the greatest nation film.
Mm. It's interesting, isn't it, as well, that America for a while seemed to have an appetite for the moral ambiguity of war, and that post-Vietnam specifically, where suddenly they realised they weren't going to win every war they were part of, and it's not quite as simple as winning and losing either. I mean, that an entire generation of young men coming back having got hooked on heroin and seeing the most horrifying things, you know, no one should have to endure. And for within a generation or two, to have sort of forgotten that and just want it to be as black and white as we talk about the Second World War. You know, they want all wars to be that again.
It's odd. If you think this film, if you looked at it from an alien comes down to Earth and puts a timeline on these films, you'd say that things like Platoon and Full Metal Jacket seem to be more developed and have a lot more interesting in terms of what they're asking questions about than this film. This seems like almost like a Western, like a 1960s black and white war film at times.
That if you shoot the bad men, everything will be fine in the end.
But I just think there would... I didn't know whether... I hadn't read a Clint Eastwood's interview on it, because I thought by the characterisation of all the American troops, they were clearly not the most intelligent, articulate people, and they weren't asking questions. Whether that was a statement itself... But I'm worried that it wasn't.
But if he doesn't give the Iraqis a voice at all in this film, then that is worrying, isn't it?
Only because of the bit at the end, which says this is what the film's about.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting.
If you make it a war film, you can do that. But I feel as well that I've seen this film before. It feels very much similar to Hurt Locker, which I thought was although my memory's really... adult, I thought was a superior film, asked more questions and was more interesting than this film.
Hurt Locker. When Jeremy Renner seemed like the next new thing and everything seemed possible for him.
What went wrong for Jeremy Renner? Where did it go wrong for him?
So boring. So boring. I don't know. He's been in huge franchises. He took over the Bourne franchise and it hasn't made it work. They're talking about bringing Matt Damon back. He's lined up for Mission Impossible for when Tom Cruise can't climb buildings anymore, and he's really dull in that. He's the dullest character in the Avengers.
I think it's because he looks a little bit like Rob Reiner from Deuce Bigelow.
You think he's and the next?
Everyone thinks. Hang on a minute. Do you know that Jeremy Renner looks a bit, and it also
you mean
sounds a bit
Rob
like
Rob Schneider?
Rob Schneider is Rob, not Rob Reiner.
Rob Reiner's the fat guy with the beard who directs films.
Rob Schneider.
Okay, yeah.
And Jeremy Renner.
Interesting.
I think there's a little bit.
Subconsciously,
people think Jeremy Renner's a bit like,
because he was brilliant in Hurt Locker, wasn't he?
Yeah,
it was excellent.
And he's just gone a bit weird after. And I have to point out one of the weirdest moments in a Hollywood film that I've ever seen.
The baby.
You've heard of this?
I've read about this.
I forgot about it and I saw it. There's one scene with, it's not a spoiler, with Bradley Cooper's Shannon Miller. And it's a really taut, traumatic, you know, one of the most, questioning their relationship there. They've had children. And I don't know if the baby fell through.
I've read about this.
It's a plastic baby. And
with an animatronic hand, right?
Well, not even it's not even moving properly. You clearly see its plastic face, and they're holding it. It looks like a plastic baby. They pass over. They didn't even go. They didn't even say we're shooting this. I mean, you're shooting films in like 4K too. Cause you just go. Do you know what? Zoom in on the face. Don't get that baby in. You can clearly see the baby, and you're just thinking, what? And I looked at. I thought, what? I was gobsmacked.
Well, apparently, I've read about this.
Yeah.
Is a bit of a prior story, because I've seen screen caps of it, so I'm just like, bloody hell, that is so blatant.
I forgot about it. When we sit in the film, it's crazy.
Clint Eastwood is famous for moving fast and using first takes, and sometimes you think you were rehearsing, and he was like, okay, let's move on, and, you know, you've done it, and that's it. And apparently when they came to that, they had a baby and a standby baby, and the baby had pneumonia or something. It was ill. Anyway, the primary baby was ill. The standby baby was bawling its eyes out. And so apparently Clint in the moment just went, get the toy baby. And they just ran with it, and that was that.
It is one of the worst... The fact you see its face, and you just go, and the baby is non-essential in that scene. If you ask me,
does it make you think that it's a brand new dimension that Bradley Cooper and Sienna Miller's characters are both really ill, and maybe they've lost a baby and they can't deal with it?
It turns the scene into a comedy because you
have you seen Psychoville.
Is
it like Dawn French's character who has a fake baby the entire time?
A bit, I imagine a bit. I've only seen tiny bits, I can't remember. And it makes their laughing comical because they're doing this tearful acting with a plastic baby.
That's weird.
I don't know how.
Because previous films have CGI'd babies as well.
Yeah,
you could
still CGI stuff over the face.
Well, they've
shot
on movements.
A 4K.
They could just crop the image further in, couldn't they? I mean,
I do not know how that got in there. And you think how much money you've gone. That's a big budget film. You just go, that we cannot have.
That's weird. Maybe Clint's eyesight's going.
It is an incredible, and it ruins it. It's a strange comical moment, which does ruin the film. But saying that, you know, as a film, it is an interesting film, and there's something good, there's something exciting. If you take all the war and the horror out of it, the whole sniper shooting people and putting in tense situations, having to choose, there's some great cinematic moments. I mean, the trailer bit is the best bit of the film. There's a few other bits like that.
Yeah. Well, personally, I don't demand that every film agrees with my politics. Yeah. Almost, it becomes more interesting when a film challenges you by portraying a world that you don't think is the correct one, and then people start talking about it. I mean, that you know, so fair play to it. I haven't seen it, but the discussion around it and the controversy around it's been very interesting in terms of, you know, making people come to terms with what they actually do believe.
Yeah.
Then fair play.
Well, I give it 7 Mareks. I don't think it's up there with the rest of the...
Do you think Gradley's in with a chance?
I would be very surprised. I think he's good.
Because he's been really nominated several times in a row,
yeah,
hasn't he?
I mean, I don't know. You can't beat Eddie Redmayne or Michael Keaton.
Mm.
I think he's good in it, but it's not... He's always playing a robotic character, so you don't really get... I don't think it's a real Oscar role.
He did grow a beard for it.
Okay, maybe change my mind. Anyway, American Sniper, interesting. There's so many other good films at the moment. I just wait till it comes out on DVD.
I wonder if they retroactively changed the baby for
that
the
is,
DVD
that is
release.
Incredible, though.
Yeah. Well, American Sniper. Time for the letters. Have we got any letters?
Yes, here we go. This is from Philip LeShirley in Eastbourne. He's requested Brian Blessed in Flash Gordon. You've done this before, haven't you?
I don't know. I'm not very good at Blessed.
Brian Blessed. Dear David Malick, Gordon's alive. I have 100%. I'm doing it wrong. I have 100% true information for you. The plot of Flash Gordon 2 was supposed to revolve around Flash banging that Aurora bird and catching space crabs, requiring a return to Earth to visit a 24-hour chemist. This was intended to tie in with the end of Picnic at Hanging Rock, but the whole idea was shelved for budgetary reasons. Keep watching the films!
Phil, from Eastbourne.
That's a reference to the Picnic at Hanging Rock being...
Where space crabs...
a few weeks back,
yes.
You said that.
I don't believe you, Phil. I don't believe the plot of Flash Gordon 2 did revolve around him catching space crabs. But if you have any evidence, please prove me wrong.
Do you want to read another one?
You read the next one.
This is from Bournemouth. It says non-farmer accent. Well, I'm going to do a farmer accent if you want to. This is from Fran Jolly. Good day, Film Fandangos. Wonder how many emails filmfandango@gmail.com gets per month meant for you. I must have sent about 4 before I realised. Anyway, in your previous comedy groups, did you ever talk about making a movie? Either Penny Dreadfuls or We Are Clang. What were your ideas? What would your non-Oscar nominated picks for best film actor, actress and director? Also, which will be the biggest disappointment? Ghostbusters 3, Jurassic Park 4, or the new Star Wars? All the best, Francis Jolly.
Well, which question should we go with first? Final one first. I think the biggest disappointment... I don't think the bar is very high for Star Wars. I don't think it can fail, because George Lucas lowered the bar about as far as it can go.
They've already got that up, haven't they? Yeah.
So they've already got that up, so this is going to be better. Ghostbusters 3, I think, is going to be great. It's
a
fantastic cast.
Is it a whole
new reboot? It's a reboot. I think they decided on a reboot. It's a guess, but I think because Bill Murray keeps umming and ahhing whether he's involved at all, Harold Ramis has died, and so a reboot with only Dan Aykroyd, it wouldn't really... a third film with only Dan Aykroyd, it would feel not as connected as it once was.
I hate all the reboots. I've all got something like a new film.
Well, yeah, but it's... So, at least they're doing something new with it rather than just casting, you know. But no, I think Ghostbusters 3 might be alright. I mean, it's a good team. So, Jurassic World, I think, is going to be... terrible.
From what you said about the trailer,
I agree. But we'll see. What was his other question?
What would be your I don't understand what non-Oscar nominated picks for best film actor.
Best film actor and actress who from last year who have not been nominated for an Oscar. So which films should, you know, if we had the Fandangies, who would be nominated?
I think all the best ones. I can't remember that far back.
It's 2014.
I just delete everything that happens to me and start again like Groundhog Day, but without the prior knowledge. So it's just
true.
Pointless.
What films? I mean, remembering what year things came out as well is pretty tough. When was Blue Ruin? That was last year, wasn't it? It's basically, we discussed this in our roundup of the entire year, didn't we?
Yeah.
We've done it.
I give them all to the Lego Movie. Did you ever talk about making a film when you're Project Penny Dreadfuls, which was your sketch group?
And you in We Are Clang.
No, we didn't.
Did you never talk about doing a film?
No, we're so, found it so hard to write a series and such a terrible experience we didn't get right.
Well, no one gave us the chance to write a series, so we talked about all of our ideas were set in a sort of steampunky, sci-fi, Victoriana world of the 19th century. So we talked about doing sort of demon hunters, but apart from that, it was probably just a conversation around some chips. We never did anything about it.
The problem is, it's so much work to write a film,
yeah,
and that no one is really interested in making stuff for themselves, so you've got to make it yourself, and it costs so much money, so it's pretty impossible, or you've got to be really famous. That's my cynical outlook.
So it's not worth getting out of bed in the morning.
Anything you do will be doomed to failure. Like my new sport I've created, which I'm going to continue.
Don't be down on Wolfsball. It's going Wolfsball, to change the world.
At Wolfsball. Wolfsball.com. I even bought some merchandise for my new brand new sport. And so far, I'm even losing money on that.
You're losing money on merchandise for a sport that no one has yet played?
Well, I may have jumped the gun, but I am
gobsmacked.
I'm still feeling a bit emotional about it.
Okay.
Anyway, this...
Wolfsball, I think, is going to be like... Your Wild Stallions, where you are going to bring everyone together in peace and harmony through the playing of this brand new sport.
I hope so. But talking about someone who does bring things together, we should move on to what you saw recently.
Well, I saw a film from last year that had passed me by. I'm a huge Denzel Washington fan. He's probably my favourite leading man. I'll watch anything he's in.
Nicolas Cage is sure.
No. Nicolas Cage is sort of a pet project in that he doesn't change what he's doing from film to film, and sometimes it's brilliant and sometimes it's the worst thing ever, and it's the weirdest thing. Whatever, you know, Nicolas Cage is just a constant, but sometimes it works. Anyway, that's just a fascination. Denzel Washington I actually really like. So I saw The Equalizer, which was another one of these American man with a gun films from the end of last year.
Based on the brilliant series with Edward Woodward. From
yes, Kansas. I hadn't realised until the end, because this is basically the origin story setup episode of that concept.
Did they have the soundtrack to the 80s Equalizer? Have you ever heard that?
I can't recall it. They may have ended on that.
One of the
sure.
best 80s soundtracks.
Well, Denzel Washington plays a man with... it's not like Taken. It's not like Taken at all. But he plays a man with a certain set of skills who won't use them because he's moved on. He's promised his wife that he won't do that before she died.
A bit like me with comedy.
Yeah, a bit like before your career died. Yeah. You promised it you wouldn't do comedy anymore.
Yeah.
And that's probably why it died, actually.
Just get back to the film.
You brought it up, mate. And so Denzel Washington is a man with scarily able with the tools of death, and he sits in a diner every night reading books. He's told his wife before she died, he would read the 100 books you're supposed to read before you die, and so he's working his way through them, and he has a sort of informal friendship with another girl who's always in the diner, who is a call girl for the Russian mafia.
Oh dear.
And then he starts to worry about what they're doing to her, and then it's a sort of vengeance story, but without... He just decides it's time there was a good guy to take down the bad guys, to equalise things, to bring balance to the force, if you like. So he goes around doing that. What is fun about this? How it is different to things like Taken or A Walk Amongst the Tombstones that I saw recently as well. Another Liam Neeson one. He's basically like MacGyver in that he is able to use tools and stuff and household materials on the fly in order to take down bad guys. Or he's a bit like an older Kevin McAllister from Home Alone. But instead of just comically making people fall down, he kills them stone dead.
Oh, no.
So, in terms of a fun sort of action film, it's really quite fun. It's really quite good. It, don't worry about the moral compass of it. The moral compass is totally out of whack.
So the Equalizer, here's a question for you.
Mm.
So he equalizes things when there's loads of bad guys.
Yeah.
What if he goes to, like, church or somewhere that's lots of good people? I'm not saying church, or, you know, like, say he goes to the Samaritan Centre.
And tries to equalise them.
Yeah, he ends up doing a shit in the photocopier of the
Samaritans.
Yeah.
He's focused on the only the Russian mob end of the spectrum.
So he's got to hang around with bad guys to be good.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I think so. I think that's the way it goes. He works at B&Q as well. That's his day job. And there's the final sort of 20-minute showdown is in B&Q, which for a guy who can use household materials, he's in his element.
If you're going to pick a fight with him, don't do it in B&Q.
Don't do it. That's like his home turf.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I tell you what.
Is it B&Q or is it...
No, it's not B&Q, but it looks exactly like B&Q. Only it's yellow, not orange.
But is it... Because B&Q only employ older generation because they know about things. It's full of old people.
They only employ people with a certain set of skills. Like, everyone at B&Q is a killing machine who's sworn they wouldn't do it again.
Wow.
Until they're pulled back in. It's really fun. It is really fun. It's just daft fun. You know, it's not an amazing film, but it does what this film is doing well. But what I found interesting watching it is I was totally on board with these Russian gangsters getting killed left, right and centre without any ambiguity whatsoever. It's okay to cast Russians as the baddies again because of Vladimir Putin and all of the oligarchs who own everything. We're happy for them to bite the bullet now, aren't we? I mean, what do you think? I mean,
kill him.
But talking, you know, with American Sniper, though, I mean, is that it's become... Ambiguity has crept back into Middle Eastern terrorists and all of that, and Russian gangsters seem to have risen to the top as being, yeah, they're just evil.
I think it's always good just to kill anyone different.
Yeah? Okay. You don't get, you know, Welsh farmers being the villains in stuff, you know, or...
You should, though.
Or just, you know, French poets. It's never them. All of the Russian gangsters have preposterous numbers of tattoos. Bodily, you know, torso and arm tattoos.
Are they drinking vodka from bottles and stuff all the way through?
Oh, yeah, all the way through, yeah. And one of them is so evil. So preposterously evil. It's like a panto performance and it's wonderful because that just sets the tone. It's just like, oh, it's fine. This isn't meant to be real at all. This is just stupid. But it's good fun.
It's there must be some rubbish romance thing in there as well, is there?
No. It's in the Taken model where all of the love is paternal. So he's protective rather than he
that's
is in
weird
love.
That's weird that's coming. And is it a lot of CGI special effects and ridiculous?
No, no. It mostly
how superhero? Look, how
not at all. He is a bloke who works at B&Q, so it's sort of... It's grimy, visceral.
And is all the violence realistic? Was it that, or is it like John Woo ridiculous?
No, it doesn't go John Woo. It's all fairly realistic. If someone gets shot, it bloody hurts and we'll take them down, you know, that sort of thing. But he's using, you know, razor wire and nail guns and things.
Those pencils you get as well.
All those pencils.
Has he got a pencil behind his ear like most people do?
He doesn't. His thing is a wristwatch. And he times everything so he knows exactly how many seconds it'll take him to do something.
Autistic.
It's the implication. Or just thorough. I think we're supposed to think his character trait is thorough.
Fine line. Very fine line.
Yeah. But he used to be a sort of agent for the American government of some kind. And at one point goes and meets his old contacts to basically get permission to go after this Russian mob family.
His old contact's probably doing it in the toilet or soft furnishings aisle.
Well, weirdly, his old CIA contact is a woman whose husband is played by Bill Pullman, but he just plays a husband. He doesn't have any skills or anything. He's just some woman's husband.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's good, but it's weird just going, oh, you're playing a completely irrelevant person. Okay, cool. That's cool.
Listen, he's probably phoned his agent and said, listen, I need something, anything.
How about a Denzel Washington film? Oh my God, yes, please,
husband,
please.
You to play husband too?
Listen, you basically just clear the dishes while he's talking to someone important.
How dirty are the dishes?
No, I mean, they're pretty sophisticated. It looks like there hasn't been... there's not beans or gravy or anything.
That's when you notice a barman, or an eyelid, always... barman extras.
Mm.
If you look, my new hobby is when I watch films and look at the barman in things
to see how,
just to see whether they're polishing glasses in the background. Because barman, basically, you just stand there.
Nobody polishes glasses for real anymore because they have those squidgy. The squidgy things.
But there's a lot of things in, and even when I was doing a bit in a film when I played barman, I found myself just polishing. And the blue one just polished. I found myself polishing the glass. And I never seen anyone polishing glass with an old tea towel.
They have a machine for it.
Don't
now.
Even touch the glass.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Those tea towels must see so much. I mean, a bar must be so quiet and dead for a barman to have time to polish every glass.
It's the last thing you do, but in films, there's a lot of glass polishing in the background.
Yeah, that's true. I've played a barman as well. I'm trying to think.
Did you polish a glass?
Yeah, I did polish a glass. Yeah, I did. Yeah, that was directed by Ben Wheatley, and it was opposite me, Anna Bjorg. They've done very well since that day.
If you hadn't polished that glass...
I would be with them now.
Realistically, you'd just be standing there watching. And you wouldn't be... If someone's at the bar, you'd be engaging with them or doing a stock check. You wouldn't, but that doesn't look like... I mean, I'm going off topic.
Slightly. So, if somebody is doing overly self-conscious, unrealistic acting, we can call them a glass polisher.
But I've done
That guy's such a glass polisher.
Something you do that no one else does, like mopping. People are always in the middle of cleaners are always in the middle of mopping something really hard. When I've seen cleaners, a lot of the time they're on their phones and the last thing they're doing is
mopping.
I want to get some of the people doing the mopping. If you want to get a good cleaner, don't hire a cleaner, hire a film extra and tell them they're being filmed and they've got to do mopping.
Yeah. Just set up a camera in the corner of the room.
Yeah, so we need you. We're doing a whole mopping thing. We're doing a what's it called when you do the stop motion, but like 24, when you do the time lapse.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing a time lapse of you cleaning this house, and we're filming it for a movie.
And you say, we're going to speed it up so it has to all be within 25 minutes.
And it has to be all really clean by the end of it, so the camera can tell, because these things are 4K.
Because you go from one to the other.
Then they'll do a really good job, because I think they're on TV.
Also, you can say they can do it for their CV.
Yeah, just get some... Yeah, just say, well, there's no payment.
But it'll be great on your showreel.
We'll send you a DVD of the film. So just send them a DVD.
I love this idea. I love this idea.
I'm going to get myself a film extra cleaner.
Do it.
What else could you do? Pay, you could get workmen, everything.
You'd probably have to have a different person every week. Otherwise, they might cotton on that... You've got them to do time-lapse cleaning this room for 8 weeks in a row now, and they've still not seen anything.
I've got to work out the cost of burning onto a DVD and putting it in the post, because postage has gone up quite a lot.
It has, hasn't it? Well, you can just Dropbox it to them.
I'll send them the file.
Yeah, done.
Well, we've got to really good... We've helped out quite a lot now, I think.
Thanks, Denzel. You got us there, once again. Well, that's it for this week.
How many Davids?
I'd probably give it 7.5. It's good fun. It's good fun. It's probably a TV movie, if I'm fair.
Okay.
If I'm fair to it. But it's a romp. It's a good old romp. It's in the Die Hard genre. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's it for this week. We do all of this for free. So if you'd like to donate towards our running costs, then please do go to filmfandango.co.uk. Follow the links from there. And everyone who has, you are absolute heroes. Also, I'd like to remind everyone that... if you would like to enter our competition by submitting your Oscar guesses, then please do so on our Facebook wall, facebook.com/filmfandango. And the person who gets all of them right, or the closest, I guess, if no one gets all of them right.
Only if
they get them all right. Fair enough. We'll get a wonderful prize. So make sure you do that. If you'd like to write to us and have your letter read out, then please email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. But we will be back next week. Keep watching the films. Goodbye.
Hi. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.